please listen carefully.
Well, hello, universe. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Summers McKay.
And I'm Christy Jansen, and we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, even though I have no idea what day of the week it is and attempted to record this without a microphone, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, and home office-worthy podcast. Today is Monday, March 347th, 2020. Actually, wait, no. Today is Monday, June 29th, 2020.
That's right, Summers. We're through half of the year.
Yes. More. Wait, more than half of the year. We are entering month 7 in 2 days. This has been such a weird year. I guess that's probably the understatement of the century.
I think it's going to go down in history as a very unusual year. We're going to be reading and writing about 2020 for a really long time.
I think in July we want to share something good on social media, but I would like to join some sort of meme group on Facebook that is all the memes of 2020. Like, if 2020 were an avocado, I don't know if you've seen that one, but it's like the avocado, it looks like this beautiful avocado on the outside, and then the woman opens it and the inside is 90% seed.
I thought you were going to say it's 90% that black. You know how sometimes you get a good firm avocado, then on the inside it's already been rotten.
Yeah. Not if you have a peel coverings on your avocado.
That's right.
So Christy and I had this realization that we talk about a lot of these fantastic businesses and products we use and things we like. And I just want to put it up front. We are not compensated in any way for our product recommends of like the Freedom Mastery Journal or the Appeal Sciences. We just happen to like authentically like these products. So just putting it out there, we're not compensated for it. However, if you did want to compensate us for liking something, we might be open to it. I don't know. Okay, so Christy's wondering where on earth I'm going with the conversation today. Christy, how was your weekend?
It was good. It was, you know, productive and not too crazy. And in fact, one of our stories today, which we're not going to highlight, is talking about establishing quarantines. And I'm so happy that I've actually now started doing that kind of socializing. And it makes such a difference to have a few extra faces to see and engage with.
Yeah, I've been doing the quarantining with my socially distant lawn parties where I have 3 girlfriends who have maintained pretty strict quarantine. And so we all feel comfortable. And then there is another woman that I went to college with and her 2 daughters. We kind of share time together in that way. I will say that this weekend was the very first time I went out in public in a relatively busy location, and I found it to be very stressful. On Saturday night, my family and I ordered takeout from a restaurant in downtown Ventura, and they've cordoned off downtown Ventura, so you have to park far away and walk into the restaurants. And we didn't realize how far we would be walking. And so my husband was carrying the baby, and my eldest daughter and son and I kind of formed this bizarre triangle around him because there were just hundreds of people out without masks. And many of them had been jubilant in cocktailing, and everybody was saying, "Oh, what a cute baby," and trying to come close. And I felt so frustrated and threatened. At one point, I turned to a group of brilliant people and I said, "You know, just because you've chosen not to wear a mask for whatever reason doesn't mean you get to put my baby at risk, and she can't wear a mask. So step back." And I was this like mother lion version of myself. It was just really weird.
Was it your Facebook post I saw that was celebrating a restaurant's comment? Like, if you choose not to wear a mask, you must also remove all your clothes before you enter.
Yes, that was
it's
my
either
post.
All or nothing. Exactly. And I loved that.
That was my post in response to this, because I was just so needed humor to lighten the intensity that I felt. And exactly. So that restaurant cracked me up, and I firmly agree. It's all or nothing.
Summers, we might be sparking a whole wave of nudists in the United States.
And then we'll have all new challenges.
A whole different conversation. All right. Well, I totally understand that. And I think that kind of anxiety is really rampant. There's a couple of kids who I'm involved with who are my son's age who are now having to go out of their restrictive quarantining and they have to go to get dental work. It's all time for them to go to the orthodontist. So they're having to leave this bubble they've been living in for the last few months. And these are, you know, 13, 14 year olds, and they're really anxious about it. And we were having that conversation over the weekend. It's interesting how the fear of this is really, really present in some populations and really absent in others. And I think it's partly the different environments that we're in terms of what we're reading and what we're hearing about. You and I, because we're so connected to this question and we understand how important it is to wear masks, and the research is really, really solid on that. But some people are really not paying attention to that, and it might be news to them. I think part of the problem there is just a failure in national leadership and in really properly socializing the idea that wearing a mask is not about personal freedom or discomfort. It's just like being a good person, a good citizen, and taking care of yourself and other people. Hopefully by talking about this kind of thing and sharing like what you said in relation to those young people who were partying, hopefully they didn't just dismiss you as a crazy lady. I appreciate what you're talking about. But what do we want to talk about from the Optimist Daily today besides our quarantines?
Exactly. Besides quarantines, which we said we weren't going to talk about, but we ended up talking about. It was kind of a garden-y day on the Optimist Daily this morning, which made me happy. You know, I like to help things grow. But my favorite story this morning is a visual one. The headline reads, "This Danish artist creates giant troll sculptures using local trash." Beginning in about 2014, a Danish artist by the name of Thomas Dambo has erected dozens of wooden folklore-inspired trolls in green acres and parks around the world. Now, you may have seen these images on social media where there is just an unexpected large wooden troll, and it kind of looks like Where the Wild Things Are, which is one of my favorite books. And they're in forests and gardens, and there's one outside of Seoul, South Korea. And it's these series of wooden giants trolls. Now, what I love about this is that the artist's mission is to celebrate reuse and reclamation, to reiterate that trash can be treasure, to also call attention and awareness to these beautiful outdoor spaces, and to bring some lightness and levity into the storytelling of loving nature. The article shares that, you know, for anyone who lives or visits in Scandinavia, trolls are everywhere and nowhere, hidden in the woods and throughout the region's literature and tourism. Trolls have a dual lesson to teach humankind, which you can read about in this story. And I just love the playful integration of art, reclamation, a circular, you know, use of tools, as well as our natural spaces. The images are lovely, and I just found it to be a very delightful, happy story, and it made me want to try to fashion some sort of wooden troll to put in my garden somewhere for Brennan to find.
I like that, Summers, because lately we mostly hear about trolls like on the internet, on social media, and trolling people in a negative way.
Right. But
sort of trolls can actually be really inspirational.
So in Frozen 1 and 2, the troll families are like these wise, brilliant little families that help guide decision making. That's the troll I want to focus on, not the creeps on the internet.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you've got the trolls, which I think the article mentions the cartoon films, which had a very successful quarantine launch this summer, this spring. Once your daughter's a little older, I'm sure you're going to be watching lots and lots of trolls.
It's
a fun cartoon.
All right. Well, what would you like to talk about from the Optimist Daily today, Christy?
My story is also gardening adjacent, at least, because the headline I wanted to focus on is "Fertilizer Relies on Fossil Fuels. This Company Could Change That." And this is in the food section on the Optimist Daily. And I think this is a very essential conversation to be having, because fertilizer is super important with our crop supply. This article points out that according to our World in Data, nitrogen-based fertilizer is supporting up to half the world's current population in terms of feeding it. And hunger is still an issue around the world, but it's not about lack of supply. It's about lack of access. The problem with that is that using nitrogen-based fertilizers or fossil fuel-based fertilizers is actually a really negative impact on our climate. It has a huge climate footprint to do that. And we've become reliant on that, especially over the last four decades as petroleum-based fertilizer has really taken off and dominated and transformed the way we grow our food. So there's an interesting company, it's based in Norway, called Yara, working with a French utility company, Engie, E-N-G-I-E. I'm sure that's an acronym for something. They are working to create fertilizer, which is a nitrogen fertilizer, but instead of getting it from natural gas, which is the current process, replacing it with ammonia, which is an essential ingredient in creating these nitrogen fertilizers, but replacing it with ammonia that's derived from solar panel using electrolyzers and turning that into hydrogen. And I just think this is great. It's another idea of how we can transition the world's fossil fuel economies into the hydrogen economy, which is based in renewable electricity generation and just using water and solar generated or wind generated power to separate the atoms to oxygen and hydrogen. And then that can then be recombined with nitrogen to create ammonia, which is a really essential aspect of fertilizer. And to do this at scale might really be one of the ways we can get off of fossil fuels. And it can have a massive impact on fertilizer. It can have a massive impact on the environment. Also, there's clear implications for our transportation systems. I'm a big supporter of a hydrogen economy, and that's the direction we need to go using renewable resources. So we're keeping an eye on this company. This is not like, oh, they've solved the problem, because there are issues with doing it in a way that's going to be cost competitive with current use of fertilizer in terms of the fossil fuels that are so cheap. It's so cheap. Right. That's how the world has been built for the last 50 years or 100 years, really, if you think about it. But we're keeping an eye on Yara, and we're keeping an eye on this kind of innovation. And that's why I wanted to highlight this story.
Well, I love the idea of finding greener ways to continue our agricultural industry, because as we know, we've got to feed the world in a healthy and greener way, just as we've talked about protecting the oceans so that we can maintain that biosphere that is essential toward feeding humanity. Just so, we have to also protect our agricultural lands and not have the sort of barren lands that come from aggressive farming. And we wrote a view on this about the Biggest Little Farm. And I love stories that are about how agricultural industry can evolve in a more ecological way. I also love stories about naming your plants.
That's a great headline. And I know you said you have Gloria there, and I don't know what your
other plants are called. So as we all know, I sit with my orchids that bloom beautifully and repeatedly here on my desk. And I've decided I've got Allison and Gloria and Victoria. I don't know why they're all girls, but they are. And according to this story in the lifestyle section of Optimist Dahlias, if you want happier, healthier plants, try naming them. So take a look at that one. I think that's probably a story about committing to care. There is another great story about virtual summer camps for parents who need a real break. I think that one's interesting. I know that for my teenagers, I really wrestle with them having more online experience. I just want them off their computers and off their phones right now, because I think that's how they spent the lion's share of winter. Winter and spring were spent online. I'm not totally sold on online summer camps, but I think it's an interesting article. Another article about growing things. Growing colorful cotton may be a game changer for the textile industry. And what else do we have on here today?
Well, there's an article about disinfecting your N95 mask with tools that are usually available in most people's homes. California has introduced a historic law requiring that all trucks go green by 2045. And that's, again, hydrogen fuel cells may have a role in that for sure with Nikola. And there's a story about scientists have come up with a hydrogel that can replace knee cartilage for people who need knee replacements. And that's an interesting innovation. And then I think that's about it. But go in and check out the Optimist Daily. There's some fun stories today. Definitely positive, green, growing, and useful information. Oh, also, there's a furniture company that has pivoted to creating medical supplies. That's an interesting way of responding to the current moment. People are not replacing their furniture right now, but there's tremendous need in the medical industry for equipment. And so this is a great sort of refocusing of the ability to construct things. That's a good story as well.
Absolutely. Well, they're all great stories. There was a great optimist view this past weekend on social entrepreneurship written by Christy herself. And I think that it's a good kickoff to a great week. Just a reminder, everybody, we are not going to be recording on July 1st. We will come back on July 6th after the holiday. We're going to take a little bit of a hiatus, a seasonal break to do some adjustments and work with the team internally. But for today, for this Monday, which I'm now officially confirmed that it's actually Monday, thank you for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And as always, please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com if you're not already. Also, consider subscribing to this podcast if you haven't already on whatever platform you're listening to it on. And for just $5 a month as an emissary, you can be a part of the solution-changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with the problem-solving mindset. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Summers. Thank you, Amelia. Thank you, world or universe, whatever it is today.
And thank you, trolls. Bye, guys. Have a great day.